Hey, welcome to another version of the Pastor Duke Podcast. Hey, thanks for tuning me in. The Lord has been blessing the podcast of late since the war in Israel. My numbers have gone to like 11,000 listens a week, so I'm really honored that you tune me in, and I pray that God will use me to help you understand our times and be ready and be excited about the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I call the message today, The Explosion of Hate. A sad yet powerful word of Jesus should be ringing loudly in our ears as we see the massive explosion of hate rampaging across our world. Jesus said of the last times, nearing his second coming, Matthew 24:12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Isn't this exactly what we are seeing pretty much everywhere we look? Since October 7th, when Hamas terrorists invaded Israel and murdered over 1,400 innocent, mostly civilian people, beheading infants, raping women, all of which are war crimes, and across the world and across many American college campuses, what do we see? Raging hate for Israel and raging praise for the Hamas terrorists. The world has got its brain switched. This is just another explosion of hate, and it's global. So many times we see Bible prophecies in the American lens, and we think America is the center of the world, and I promise you it is not. Israel is God's hourglass. Jerusalem is capital of the world. Sadly, this is but the tip of the iceberg of hate. Have you listened to any of the House or Senate hearings of late trying to expose the evil and the crime that is our country now? Hate, threats, and more hate have brought legislation to a near deadlock. Listen in on school board meetings as parents passionately pour out their hearts upon the deaf ears, as it were, of school board members trying to stop the insanity of the critical race theory, the insanity of the LGBTQ agenda for little kids. Come on, man. All of this Sodom filth from the devil himself being taught to our most innocent children, it truly is as Sodom and Gomorrah in these days, just like Jesus said it would be. Madness is reigning in our schools. Madness is reigning in our government. This administration pours hundreds of billions of dollars to protect Ukrainian and Israeli borders, but leaves our own border wide open, lets criminals invade our land. 100,000 will die this year of fentanyl poisoning. That's double the amount of people who died in all the years of the Vietnam War on the American side, and yet nobody's lifting a legal finger to stop it. Borders wide open. All the child trafficking being sanctioned by our own corrupt government-funded agencies. All of the young women serving as sex slaves. And add to that inflation, high food and energy costs. What do we have? Iniquity abounding and the love of many waxing cold. And ugly and as scary that this explosion of hate is, we have frustrations overflowing and exploding in hate and violence, just like the scripture said it would be prophetically in the time near Christ's second coming. What is behind our cancel culture? What is behind the woke censorship of nearly everything they oppose? Why has the First Amendment been cast aside? Why is the voice of biblical and historical sanity being washed off the internet, washed off of our social media sites? Well, wise King Solomon would remind us, there's nothing new under the sun. This isn't Satan's first rodeo. Others more contemporary might say this, what goes around comes around. We are on only the fourth page of the Bible when Cain kills Abel and cancer culture begins. Cain silenced the voice of Abel. The story of Cain and Abel is way more than just a true, sad story of humanity's first murder. It is a demonic template for future tragedy. What happened in that sad story in Genesis 4 just happened again on October 7th in southern Israel, and it happened again last week in California as a 78-year-old Jewish man holding an Israeli flag was killed by a pro-Hamas demonstrator. See, nothing much changes from one deprived generation to the next. I'm going to have some good news at the end, folks. I hate to be a dookie downer, but hey, this is in our face, and we need to be able to fit it biblically into what's going on so we can be ready to give answer of the hope that lies within us. What do we have in Genesis 4? A holy war. But there is nothing holy about it. It was a religious war exploding as Cain wants to worship God his own way. He completely disregards the divine instructions he learned from his parents on how to worship God. A blood sacrifice is required. And his brother Abel had no problem. He did it God's way. Cain was willing to worship God, but it had to be on his own terms. You hear people ignorantly say, oh, it doesn't matter how you worship. Oh, my goodness. Yes, it does. That is biblical blindness to say something so foolish. God laid out, he seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth according to his word. Well, Cain was willing to worship, but was going to be on his own terms. A bloodless sacrifice, you know, from some of his harvest on the farm. He easily could have traded his offering to Abel for a lamb. And I'll give you some of my veggies for a lamb so I can worship God the right way. But no, there is an explosion of hate and a murder is in the making. Let's stop here for a critical spiritual reality check. Is Cain acting completely on his own here, or could there be demonic activity blinding his eyes, inflaming his self-righteous heart? Jesus reminds us Satan is the father of all lies and a murderer from the beginning. I would say Genesis 4 and the first murder are exactly what Jesus was referring to. Satanic influence upon the one who rejects the word of God. Did you hear me? Satanic influence, maybe even satanic control, satanic blindness upon those who reject the light of God's word. Oh my goodness, we are in a spiritual battle. In the text, God himself visits Cain to help get him on a good track, to protect him from himself and from demonic influences. God said, "Why are you angry? If you do well, bring the right sacrifice. I'll gladly accept you." And then I would put in my own words here, Cain, I don't love Abel more than I love you. Just follow my directions and it'll be good. Well, you know the rest of the story. It wasn't good, but there was way more going on than what we can see. We can see, you know, Cain kills his brother Abel, stones him to death. A demonic template is being rolled out kind of backstage, we might say, that will rear its ugly head over and over throughout history yet to come. My New York City investigative detective friend, Andrew Vallis, who has been on several of my podcasts, would put it into these words. Number one, we have a motive. Cain is furious with his brother. He hates God. He hates his brother. We have a motive. Number two, we have a plan. Number three, we have a crime. Number four, we have a cover-up. Isn't it ironic that the first crime between man and man was at the core a religious war, And the template would be the unrighteous would persecute the righteous. Always has been, and unfortunately, always will be. I'll be using this template to expose the demonic agenda we see all the time. Recently in Maui, the fire, what really happened there? In Ukraine, things that the news is not telling you. What really happened on 9/11? What happened on January 6th? And all the other huge events that are rolling out on the world stage as the day of our Lord draws near. That will be coming in my next podcast. I was going to put it in this one, but I got carried away with too much other stuff. So tune in next week. I appreciate you so much. I'm going to go back to Jesus' words here. Because iniquity shall abound. The Greek word here for iniquity is often translated lawlessness. In many of the other versions of the Bible, it's translated lawlessness. And it carries an even deeper meaning, not just people who break the law, but the deeper meaning is the law enforcers will not enforce the law. They will be the corrupt ones. Corruption shall control the governments, especially in the time of the end. And that, my friends, is our American sad reality today. I wish it wasn't so, but I was told by Jesus what to expect, and Jesus is never wrong. In my former state of New York, we have criminal catch and release. Insane as it is, it's the law in New York. Makes me glad to be gone. But adding insult to injury, we have cashless bail. That being interpreted is this. A cop risks his or her life to catch a criminal, takes him to the precinct, I sometimes affectionately call it the cop shop, where they file some papers and the criminal goes right back out. Guess what the criminal does when he goes back out? The very same thing. You talk about ripping the heart out of law enforcement personnel. Oh my, come quickly, Lord Jesus, get us out of here. That, my friends, is judicial madness. In California, shoplifting anything under $1,000 is not a prosecutory crime. Now, as they reap this insanity that they sow, retailers are leaving California in the droves because they can't afford to stay there because of the lawlessness, the law refusing to enforce the law. All of this judicial insanity is fulfillment of biblical prophetic warnings. Man, the Bible was way ahead of its time. The law, not keeping the law. Open borders up till Obama and Biden would have been called treason by any other generation of Americans. The Department of Justice going after Ohio parents who spoke out at their private school board meeting, Columbus Academy, speaking out against critical race theory, speaking out against LGBTQ agenda. And the DOJ threatens them, litigates against them to silence any opposing views to the tyrannical education agenda imposed by our Department of Education. What do we have here? The guilty attacking the innocent. Just like we read in Genesis chapter 4, nothing has changed. All the while, the DOJ and the FBI hide Epstein's black book. They hide the Anthony Weiner and Hunter Biden's laptop. Why? Because they know it has stuff that will expose the guilty ones in high places. So they collude together and they hide it. They hide the 16,000 hours of citizen journalist video from the January 6th event. I could go on for hours on this one sad prophecy that's in our face every single day. Lawlessness will rule the day, but you get the sad point, so I'll move on. So the back half of that verse, because iniquity or lawlessness shall abound, here's the part I want to focus on now. The love of many will wax cold. People are so tired of the fraud of the corruption. They just are tuning the world out. They're not listening to the news. They've just had enough. They can't take any more. They just hope for the best, put their head in the sand and wait it out, see what's going to happen. Well, the Bible tells us what's going to happen. They just begin to live for themselves and for the moment. How sad, and yet it's epidemic. There is a huge youth movement going on now in China called Let It Rot. That's so sad. The youth are so disillusioned, so fed up with life in China, the impossibility of ever really having a good life, affording one of those empty apartments that of which there are millions sitting empty. They just emotionally, mentally throw in the towel. Why even try? They act out their disillusionment by what they call laying out, where maybe four, five, six of them will get together, guys or gals. They all live in one little rented room, a little efficiency apartment, and they just lay out. They refuse to work. They just take a little bit of government sustenance. They play video games, and they live in the moment with no hope for the future. Check it out. Google that up. It is so sad. Let it rot. Laying out. And I think America's not all that far from that as well. Here in our country, we have thousands of basement apartments at parents' homes where many 24 to 40-year-old former college graduates are, with degrees oftentimes in humanities and psychology and things like that, with staggering student loan debt, and they can't or won't get meaningful jobs. What do you call that? Maybe you could call it the love of many is waxing cold. Maybe you could call it people are just saddened by what they see, giving up hope. The love of many has waxed cold. We have rest homes full of people who really don't need to be in rest homes because the love of many, the love of family has waxed cold. We have 75% of all black kids growing up in America today without dad in the home. Why? Because of the love of many has waxed cold. We have 50% of white children growing up in broken homes. Why? The love of many has waxed cold. The love for self supersedes. So why should I have to put up with you? So I'll just put you out of my life and I'll go about and do my thing. How sad. And yet that is the world that is ours today. I again remind you, I got good news at the end. I'm depressing myself as I share all this with you, but it is what you're going to hear on the news, and we need to be aware of it, and we need to be ready to handle it. Many of us, say 50 years old and up, can easily remember the day when you could disagree with someone, and it wasn't called hate. Ronald Reagan, Tip O'Neill, went head-to-head on nearly every political issue all day long, and then in the evening they went out, had a beer together, and watched the game on TV. Disagreeing today is called hate. When a society decides to remove God from all public venues, which America has done, kicked science out of the school, Scopes Trial 1929, kicked the Bible and prayer out of the school 1962, and we've educated two generations with no biblical morality, no absolute truths. You see that holy spiritual void that is now left in the hearts of people is now filled by unholy spiritual values. What God would give is love. What demonic spirits will give is hate. You follow that? There's spiritual warfare going on all around us. We are in the midst of it. The woke culture despises even the thought of any absolute moral truth, yet they absolutely hate those who do hold to absolute truth. Isn't that ironic? It's actually quite hypocritical. The woke who claim complete tolerance towards gays, illegals, trans, and criminals, they have complete intolerance for all those who disagree with them. And sadly, it goes way beyond just disagreeing. They embrace and push the cancel culture without hesitancy. They shout down conservative voices on college campuses. They justify violence toward those who won't join in their insanity. their unpardonable sin is, you offended me by the way we think. Come on, man. Time to grow up. I think of the evangelist Billy Sunday. People accused him of preaching too hard against sin. They said to him, you rub the fur the wrong way. And he said, just turn the cat around and all will be well. Do you remember the tree huggers just maybe half a generation ago putting nails in the trees, which literally threatened and took the lives of forestry laborers? Environmentalism kind of became a new religion. Its prophets like Greta Thunberg, AOC, Al Gore have no problem destroying your job, destroying the economies of the world to propagate their save the planet from the people agenda. They are getting rich. They're taking it all the way to the bank as they have huge carbon footprints as they traverse the country in their private planes. The epitome of hypocrisy is here. The environmentalist religion hates the oil industry. They hate carbon energy of any kind. They will gladly kill the multitudes to advance their religious fervor. They plan UN Agenda 2030. They plan on eliminating 7.5 billion useless eaters, as Klaus Schwab would call us. It's a high moral doctrine on their part. Who is at this epicenter of this writing, of this agenda? Well, the UN, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab. The eugenics movement is real. It is here. They're buying up farmland. Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Chinese Communist Party, buying up farms all across of America, putting them out of business. Starvation is looming for many of these people, these useless eaters, as they are called. What do you call that? I call that an explosion of hate at the global level. I think more in America, we have the PETA movement. I don't remember what all those letters stand for, but they love animals. I love animals too. I don't believe in abusing animals. Absolutely not at all. But they hate hunters. They hate homesteaders like me because we kill the animals that we eat. Yet they eat meat that others killed, and it's madness. It's hypocrisy. But it just leads to hate. That's the thing. The love of many will wax cold. Hate is the spirit of Antichrist, which the Bible says is already in the world. Satan uses the media to fan all kinds of hate, any kind of hate, anywhere, for any reason. Whites hating blacks hating whites, straights hating gays hating straights, Dem versus Republican hate, gender hate, generational hate, social economic hate, cultural hate. And maybe the worst of all, which is in our face as we speak, we have right now anti-Semitism, the hatred of the Jew. 75 years ago, it was said, as the reality of the Holocaust was made known to the world, it was said, never again. But only 75 years later, guess what? It's back. You know, that's been a reality. This hatred of the Jews has been a reality since God called Abraham and ordained the Jewish people to be the Messianic nation. Everything God loves, Satan hates. Not to say that the Jewish people are a perfect people, and oftentimes their governments are corrupt as well. Just read through the Old Testament book of Kings and Chronicles. They were a hot mess, but that doesn't mean that they weren't chosen. God said, I'll bless those who bless the Jew. I'll curse those who curse the Jew. Look what happened to Germany when they cursed the Jew under Hitler's leadership. But they are chosen, even though they're not perfect. The land they are accused of occupying was given to them by God. The Palestinians were given three opportunities since 1947 for a two-state solution. Each time they refused because their religion, the doctrine of Islam, says death to Israel. In their view, it can only be one nation, and it's not going to be Israel. Death to Israel is the doctrine of Islam. It is in the papers of Hamas organization. It's in the doctrine of all of the terrorist groups coming and funded by Iran. Death to Israel. So what do we have? A global explosion of hate. divide people over Hamas versus Israel. Have you noticed it's the Hamas side that is violent? It was the Hamas group that targeted civilians and terrorized the nation of Israel. It's Hamas that uses human shields. What we literally have is an explosion of sympathy for the devil and another explosion of hate. Well, enough about the problem. You've seen that prophecy of Jesus fulfilled. The solution will not come via a military victory by either side or rebordering by the United Nations or a political solution. Politics have never once fixed religious issues. This battle has raged since Abraham birthed an illegitimate son named Ishmael, who was patriarch to the Arab peoples. Then the family feud went viral 2,600 years later with the rise of Islam and their false prophet Muhammad. Death to Israel is in the heart of radical Muslims. Thank God, I think only 10% of Muslims are radical, but they are controlling the 90% who are not. Only way it could be fixed in the Muslim mind is for every Jew to be dead. And scriptures makes it clear that ain't happening. God's not finished with Israel. The Bible says there'll be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes and sets up his kingdom. Then the swords will be turned into plowshares, but not until then. Until then, it will be more hate upon hate, more wars and rumors of wars, more government corruption, more of the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, more incremental steps towards Antichrist's cashless, tyrannical, global New World Order. But all the while, I have Jesus, and so do most of you listening. Jesus is our Savior. We shall not be moved. In his love and favor, we shall not be moved. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. The global outlook is doom and gloom for sure. Revelation is about to unfold, chapters 6 through 19. About two-thirds of the world's population will die. We call that the Great Tribulation. The apocalypse is looming near. Armageddon is brewing. But at the personal level, Jesus saves. Jesus saves all who call upon his holy name, all who turn to him in repentance, acknowledging, I'm a sinner. You're a Savior. I put my faith and trust in you. He will give unto them eternal life. He will give his angels charge over us. He will return to rescue his bride from the evil day, to take his church to the Father's house. John 14, verses 1 through 6 are about to happen. Over 3 years now of podcasting my own program and co-hosting with John Westfall on According to John. You need to listen to According to John on any podcast channel. We team together to hit the nail on the head. We're fearless. John is. He strengthens me, man. I love that guy. We've had thousands of Muslims risk their very lives to tune us in and download our podcast onto their devices. See, Jesus loves Jews and Muslims. How about this for a concluding statement? Moses can't save even one Jew, nor can Muhammad save even one Muslim. I'm going to say that again. Moses can't save a Jew, and Muhammad can't save a Muslim. Only Jesus can save. And he shed his blood that whosoever will may come freely and receive eternal life as a gift. That includes the descendants of both Isaac, the Jews, and Ishmael, the Arabs. And I'll close with a Facebook post I saw and reposted yesterday. This is for Christian people. Don't any of us run around with a mouthful of scriptures and a heart full of hate. We have no right to do that. Jesus told us to love our enemies, to pray for those who despitefully use us. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds are not carnal. We are not violent. But our prayers and our godly testimony are far more powerful than any hate that is all around us. We will overcome blood by the blood of the Lamb, not by political activism. I hate what's happening, but I don't hate the people. They are blind. They're being led by the blind. Let's show them the light. Let's show them Jesus. Let's share the prophetic truth about the time in which we live. Let's worship and praise our way through. And I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. So again, thank you for tuning me in. And I'd appreciate it if you would like, subscribe, share my podcast with people that you love. Help my numbers to grow. Help the algorithm to realize something's gone over there on that Pastor Duke podcast. I got a 5.0 rating. That's a miracle. I don't think YouTube wants any part of me, but so far Podbean thinks what I'm doing is okay. So I'd appreciate it if maybe you just let me know you're out there. All I can measure is the downloads, and man, they are really growing, and I'm thankful for that. But man, send me just a little note. Introduce yourself to me by email, PastorDuke@gmail.com. PastorDuke@gmail.com. Send me a note. Let me know how you found out about it. Many of you know me from preaching around the country on the road, but communicate with me. That'll encourage me greatly. But in the meantime, love you. Thanks for listening. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So good to be on the winning team.